familiarize ourselves with two concepts that we've discussed, but let's take a moment to discuss them more. One is the halacha of tumah, tumas nevela. A nevela, an animal that was not killed through shechita, again, not that relevant nowadays, would make a person tamei. The halacha of an animal that wasn't slaughtered, that became a nevela, that it's metama, is metama in one of two ways. It's either metama b'maga or it's metama b'masa. Tumas maga means that if somebody's carrying, somebody touches that nevela, he becomes tamei. Tumas masa is the same halacha. If somebody's carrying that nevela, he becomes tamei. But it's actually a much higher level tumah, because if somebody's carrying a nevela, behema, everything he wears also becomes tamei. But that's not what we're going to be speaking about in today's shiur primarily. We're going to be speaking about a tumas nevelas oif. If a bird becomes a nevela, again, the simple case is that the bird just died, it's a nevela, and somebody who comes in contact with that nevela is tamei. But the Torah is very specific in how you become tamei through a nevelas oif tar. The Torah says you only become tamei through a nevelas oif tar when you swallow it in the Beis Habliyah. We'll speak in a moment what the Beis Habliyah is, but what the Pasha Pshat is when it's in your throat. When the nevela is in your throat, you become, the person is tamei, to the degree that he has a tumas, the clothing that he's wearing is also tamei. Actually, a very big machloikus rishonim, how to understand tumas nevelas oif tohar. Some say, that's the pshat that I always thought was the easiest pshat, that it's a form of tumas masa. You're carrying the nevela. You're carrying it in your throat. Others say it's a form of tumas maga, which has in it the difficulty, because we just finished saying the tumas maga is not metama what you're wearing, and yet by tumas nevelas oif tar, it is metama what you're wearing. A third pshat is that it's a tumas achila, that it comes about through eating. And the fourth pshat that I saw, it's a tumas makam, that the Torah teaches us that if the nevela is found in your Beis Habliyah, you become tamei. But like the Stipler adds, it's only tamei if it's a tumas makam, so why do you have to eat it? So he says that, I'm going to get to it. So the tumas Beis Habliyah has to come through an achila. What is the Beis Habliyah? It's actually a machloikus achroinim. It's machloikus of Chaim Brisker and the Chazon Ish. Chaim Brisker says that the tumas Beis Habliyah is that it's in a place that's down your throat, but you could still expel it. The Chazon Ish says that no, if it's still in a place where you could expel it, then it wouldn't be considered tumas Beis Habliyah. It has to be further down that it can no longer be retrieved. So that's the halacha of tumas nevelas oif tahar. Interesting, just to finish this word of introduction, tumas nevelas oif tamei. What would be halacha if you have a bird that's a non-kosher bird and it becomes a nevela? It's not matam at all, interestingly enough. That's the halacha of, that's our introduction regarding tumas nevela. Another halacha that we've learned, well actually in Mitzvah Shem learn a whole mesecht about it, is known as me'ila. Moil behegdish, if somebody derives benefit from hegdish that it's not supposed to derive, so the halacha is that that's considered me'ila behegdish. We know those that say kabbonis every day, we know that one of the kabbonis that needed to be brought was da'asham me'ilois. A kabbon ma'asham if you're moil behegdish. I don't want to go into all the halachas of me'ila, just what will be extremely important for our shiur. The halacha is that me'ila is only applicable by something which is kodesh hakadoshim. It's something that belongs, so to speak, to Hashem. The paradigm of something that would be subject to me'ila would be a carbon oila, because a carbon oila at all points is kula l'Hashem. From the moment you're magdish that carbon, throughout its entire existence, it's off Hashem. There's nothing that goes to any human consumption. Kachi kachim, chatos, asham, are all subject to me'ila until you actually are makar of the carbon. Once you're makar of the carbon, the halacha is that the meat of the carbon which is eaten by the kohanim is no longer subject to me'ila. The emrim, the parts of the carbon that are put on the mizbeach, are subject to Milah. Shlomim, Kachim Kalim, is just the opposite. Until the actual Hakrova, they're not subject to Milah at all. Bringing it to the, doing the Avodah. Only once you begin the process, do they become subject to Milah, but only the Emrim of the Karban Shlomim, which go on the Mizbeach, are subject to Milah. The actual meat, which we know everybody can eat the meat, it's not even only limited to Kahanim, and it can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, are not subject to Milah. Interesting Shaila. I mentioned the Shaila. I don't know if anybody heard our shiur on the previous daf, and daf Samach Vav. We discussed the concept that Shmuel taught us earlier in the Masechta. Shmuel taught us in the Masechta that let's say somebody does the zrik of a carbon in the wrong place. So what does Shmuel say the halach is? That you get credit for the carbon, but even though you get credit for the carbon, that's a carbon that you're not allowed to eat. So now the question is, what would be the halacha if you have such a carbon? You did the zrik in the wrong place, so you're not allowed to eat that carbon, but you get credit for the carbon. Will that carbon be subject to Me'ilah? It's a machlokes of Reb Chaim and the Chazanish. Reb Chaim says that Me'ilah, as soon as the carbon, you've fulfilled your obligation, so it's not subject to Me'ilah anymore. Chazanish says that the din of Me'ilah depends on a heter achila. And here there's no heter achila, because you're not allowed to eat this carbon. Since there's no heter achila, it's still subject to Me'ilah. So we begin the mission of Ezra Hashem. The Kulon, all of the various kabbonis, the chattas and the oila that we discussed in the previous shiur, that would.
The mission is not on the sheet.
The mission. The beginning of the mission. Thank you. All the carbon chattas and oilas that we discussed, that either they were brought properly or improperly, aim at tamim beisablia. Certainly could are not, have enough of a status of kashrus. Have enough of a status that they're not considered disqualified, that they should no longer be metama, they're not considered nevela, or me'alim behem. But they're still subject to me'ila. Before we speak more, we ought to make a very interesting observation. Carbon chatos ha'oif. Let's think about the chatos ha'oif, which the Gemara and the Mishnayos have actually mentioned on numerous occasions, are a carbon that's completely eaten. In fact, I think the only carbon that's completely eaten. None of the animal or the bird is put on the Mizbeach. So Chatas Oif is a carbon that's never possible to have Milah. Because we just said that something that's eaten is not subject to Milah. So let's remember that as we go further in the Mishnah. Chutz mechatas Oif, she'os lamata, kamasa chatas l'shem chatas, says the Mishnah, if we have a carbon Chatas Oif that was performed properly, that the avoid of that carbon was performed properly, so as I just said, once the avodah was performed properly, the kahana may eat the carbon, and it's no longer subject to me'ilah. In fact, as was discussed in the shiur that we learned yesterday, the question is that this is such an obvious rule, why does the Mishnah have to mention it? So some indeed say that it's just to give, Tosfos says, just to put all the cases on the table. Other Rishonim say that the halacha here is, I said Terutzim in our previous year, you could hear on the tape, I'm just going to say a new Terutz that I saw over Shabbos is as follows. The halacha is that, let's say you did something wrong with the carbon after the Hazor, because there are halachas that continue even after the Hazor, even the Chatas Oif that you're allowed to eat, you're only allowed to eat it in the Hazorah. What would be the halacha if you did something wrong after the Hazor? So you can't say that this is a carbon that was nikarav properly because you didn't do it all the way properly. Still, the halacha will be that it's not subject to me'ilah because the halacha is only concerned when it comes to me'ilah up to the point of hazal. Says the Mishnah further. Oilas oif, we know that the oilas oif, the avoid of the oilas oif was supposed to be above the chutah sikra. She'os lamata kamase chatas. If somebody performed the avoid of the oilas oif, not above the chutah sikra, but below the chutah sikra. And not only did he do that, but all of the procedures that he was supposed to be followed in bringing the oilas oif, he followed as a chatos. Rebbe Lezer, I'm in Meilenbay. Rebbe Lezer says it's still an oilas oif. And since it's an oilas oif, it's subject to Milah. Rebbe Shua, I'm in Meilenbay. It's not considered anymore oilasoif, it's not considered a chatasoif. And as I said a moment ago, a chatasoif is not subject to me'ila. Amr Beleza. So Beleza turns around to Rabbi Yeshua and says, I don't understand your logic. If you bring a karm chatas properly, it's not subject to me'ila. Kishashina shema. But let's say you bring a karm chatas, not l'shem karm chatas, it certainly would be subject to me'ila. If anything, it would be the best example of a carbon not subject to me'ila. Because we go back to the first Mishnah of our Masechta. What did the first Mishnah of our Masechta say? That a chatos that was brought shaloi l'shma is completely possible. If a chatos was brought shaloi l'shma and it's possible, so you haven't made it into a carbon chatos, and therefore remains subject to me'ila. Oila. So now let's understand, says Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Yeshua. Oila shemi alamba l'shma. When oil, even if you bring the carbon oil properly, as I said in my introductory remarks, oil is always subject to mila. Certainly, kishashina shema, where you did a shinui, so not only didn't you bring it that you didn't bring it properly, certainly ain't a din shir maluba. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar to Bishu, I don't understand why you hold an oil that was brought l'shem chatos should not be subject to mila. Omle Rabbi Yeshua, responds Rabbi Yeshua. Loi, imamat b'chata shashina shema l'shem oila. Where did I say my halacha? I said my halacha strictly regarding karm chatos, that there was a shinui to make into shem oila. Kishen shina as shema l'dova sheyesh ba me'ila. Time ba oila shashina shema l'shem chatos, kishen shina shema l'dova sheyesh ba me'ila. So he answers as follows. When you take a carbon oila of an animal, and you want to turn it into a karm chatos, what have you done? These are both kabbonis that are subject to Hilchas Mila. Whereas when you take an oilus oif and you trade it to become a chatas oif, as I said earlier, a chatas oif is not subject to Mila. So therefore, you can't compare the two situations. Rabbi Elazar doesn't let up. And this is where our sheets begin. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Let's talk about every case of Kachi Kachim. In the case of Kachi Kachim, Sheshachtim Bedorim, so we know that kachi kachim, the shechita of kachi kachim, shechitosim b'tzofen, have to be brought b'tzofen. Here they were brought b'doron. V'shachtem l'shem kachim kalim. So as the Rishonim explain, what's Rabbi Elazar saying to Rabbi Yeshua? We have here a double deviation. Number one, you brought it in the wrong place. You brought it in Doron instead of tzofen. And number two, you brought it l'shem kachim kalim instead of l'shem kachi kachim. Yechichu. They are proof that your position, says Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, is incorrect. Shekei, here we have a situation. Shishina shmom, where there was a shinui, to davish emba me'ila. Why? Because shlomim, as I said earlier, are not subject to me'ila. And yet, the halacha is, me'alim behen. This shinui will not be enough of a reason that it should not be subject to me'ila. Af ato altatama lo'ila, therefore, says Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, don't bring your raya to the case of the oila, sha'afapi, that indeed, as you correctly indicated, that here we had a shina shema, instead of making it into an oila, you wanted to make it into a chatas, and you also tried to change it to dova she'en ba me'ila, because you wanted to turn the oila into a chatas ha'oif, which is not subject to me'ila, that the halacha ought to remain, says Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Yeshua, she'imalibo, that it should be subject to me'ila. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, to which Rabbi Yeshua responds, Loi, imamat b'kachi kachim, sheshachtim b'dorim, v'shachtim l'shem kachim kalim. In the case of kachi kachim, where we had this double shinui, this double deviation, that he shechted it in the wrong place, and he also shechted it to be kachim kalim instead of kachi kachim, shekein shina shemom, davashesh b'isav ha'heter. As we said earlier, Kabbonis of animals are all kabbonis. Every carbon of an animal has a situation where it will be subject to me'ila. Because even the shlomim that I mentioned earlier, which is only subject to me'ila after you are makav the carbon, and after you only have the emrim, still it will be subject at one point, to one degree, to me'ila. Time of ba'ayla, in our case, shishina shema, in our case, we've changed the oila sa'if to be a chata sa'if, which I said earlier is the only carbon that is not subject to milah at all. And therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, because of this unique factor that Chatas Oif has, that it's the only carbon with all the carbonates that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash that has no connection to the halacha milah, therefore you can't use any other carbon as a raya to this case. Interesting, Shaila. At what point will the oila, according to our Mishnah, be considered a chatos, that it should no longer be subject to milah? Some achronim say, at the moment that it was decided that instead of it being an oil, it should be a chatos, at that moment, it gets the shame chatos and is no longer subject to milah. There are other achronim that say no. Only after you do the hazar stam as a carbon chatos, so now you've shown that this is to you a chatos, not an oil, because as we learned, just to quickly review, the way the blood of the chatos was sprinkled was very different than the way the blood of the oil was sprinkled. Just to review, it's good to chazer anyway. The way an oil was sprinkled was they just took the neck of, they separated the head from the body and they squeezed the blood on the walls of the mizbeach. But a chatos, they didn't, lo yavdol, the Torah says don't separate. They took the bird, they swung it up and down, and then afterwards they did the mitzui. So since it's a very different hazar, many achronim, at least in the Mishnah, we'll see how to learn the Gemara, hold that it only becomes exempt from Hilchas Mi'ilah at the point of Hazor. Begins the Gemara, Tanya. And it's very interesting what happens in the Gemara here. A very interesting machloikas ha'achroinim, how to understand the Gemara. We've just learned our Mishnah. Our Mishnah quoted the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua. We're now going to learn a brisa that's going to repeat the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar of Yeshua in a much more expanded fashion. And then to give you a little preview, we're going to learn the pshat of Rav Ada Bar Hava, how he understands Rabbi Yeshua. And there's a very big machloikas in perspective, and not just the machloikas in perspective, but it's also relevant to pshat and halacha. Are these three different variations in the dialogue between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua to be viewed as three different opinions? Or really they're all the same way, the same explanation of Rabbi Yeshua, just stated differently? The Briska Rav, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, explains that these three mahalchim are three distinct mahalchim, and maybe we'll be able to even point out nafgamina lahalocha between the different approaches. Tanya begins the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Oshem sheshachta b'tzofen. Again, Rabbi Yeshua said that if you took a bird that you originally had in mind that it should be a carbon oilus oif, and you decided to make it into a chatas oif, the halacha is that it's considered that it should be treated like a chatos and not be subject to meila. So Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yeshua, Oshem sheshachtim b'tzofen l'shem shlomim, a carbon oshem that was brought in the tzofen l'shem shlomim, yuchiach should be a proof that deviation is not acceptable. Shrei shina shema, here we have a shinu Hashem. You want to make it, instead of being an oshem, into a shlomim, and you're moiling it. So here too, says the Gemara, af ata al tama al oila. Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar to Yeshua, the same thing should be, but an oila, sha'af apisha shina shema, that even though you intended, originally was supposed to be an oila, and then it becomes a chatos, shimaluba, it should be subject to Hilchas Mi'ila. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, to which Rabbi Yeshua says, loy, you can't compare that. Sh'im amarta ba'osham, if this halacha, that an oshem that you turned into a shlomim, or you wanted to turn into a shlomim, is still subject to milah. Shina shma l'shinas mekaymai. You've still brought it in the place that a carbon oshem should be brought. Time of oila, whereas the case of the oila of our Mishnah, shina shma l'shina mekaymai. That not only did you decide to make the carbon oila sa'if into a chatas sa'if, but as I said in the Mishnah says it explicitly, instead of bringing it at Lamala Mechuta Sukra, which is the place that the Oilus Oif should be brought, it was brought Lamata Mechuta Sukra, which is the place that the Chatas Oif should be brought. So Rabbi Elazar doesn't let up. Amalei Rabbi Elazar. So fine. Oshem Sheshachta B'Dorim. What would be the halacha regarding an Oshem that was brought in the Dorim, L'Shem Shlomim? That should be a proof, Yuchiach, that you're still wrong. Because here we have, says Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Yeshua, the same situation. Shina shmoi, v'shinas mekaymai. Here you have a situation where he wants to make Oshim into a Shlomim, and you also want to have that you took, instead of doing it in the Dorim, instead of doing it in the Tzofen, you did it in the Dorim. And therefore says Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Yeshua, Af ato al tatama ala oila. Don't ask me a question regarding oila. Sha'api shishina shma v'shinas mekayma, that in the case of our Mishnah, by the chatos, the oila that you turn into a chatos, where again you have a double deviation, it should still be subject to me'ila. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, to which Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Elazar, loy, imamach ba'osham, regarding Oshem, Shishina Shema Vishinas Mekoimoy, Lashinas Masov. There is no significant difference between the way an Oshem is brought and the way a Shlomim is brought. Tama ba'oila, whereas our case where you started with Oila Sa'if, you had a Shina Shema, that instead of bringing in as Oila Sa'if, you meant the Chata Sa'if, and you also had Shinas Maseha. I explained earlier that the Avoid of a Karban Chata Sa'if was different than the avoid of the carbon oilus oif and shinas makayma. So what's Rabbi Yeshua saying to Rabbi Elazar? The way the Brisker Rav understands, it's a numbers game. What does it mean? How many deviations do you have? And Rabbi Yeshua is saying to Rabbi Elazar, we have more deviations by the chatos, that by the oil that was made into the chatos, than the oshem that was made into the shlomim. And it depends on the amount of deviations to know if it will or will not be subject to Me'ila. Rabbi Elazar still doesn't... Rava. So Rava says, Rabbi Elazar shouldn't give up. V'neimalei. The way we're explaining, it counts how many deviations you made. So why don't you over here say, in the case of Oshem to the Shlomim, that it could also have three deviations. Oshem, Sheshach to Bedorim, L'shem Shlomim, B'shinui Bailam. So this question is that we should have a triple deviation here too. Number one, you have a shini shem, the oshem to the shlomim. Number two, you'll have a shini mokum from tzofen to dorim. And number three, you'll have a third shinui, a shinui bailim, that you won't have a mind to bring it for that person who's the real owner of this carbon, oshem. You'll have a mind to bring it for someone else. So what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, Rabbi Yeshua said this, and the way we learn the Gemara is Gishmak. Rabbi Yeshua said that why is there a halacha in our Mishnah, that it's not subject to Me'ila, because there are three deviations. Shini Shem, Shini Mokum, Shini Maisav. Now the Gemara is trying to find a case by Oshem. And what are the three cases? Shini Shem, Shini Mokum, Shini Bailim. So this is Shini Bailim, this is Shini Maisav. So what's the Gemara saying? But like the way we're learning, it's very Gishmak, because it depends on numbers. So here there are three deviations, and here there are three deviations. So the fact that the deviations aren't the same type of deviation doesn't bother Rava, doesn't impede Rava from asking his question. Others want to explain, you have to be somewhat of a lamdan to understand this, that Shinui Bailim is a form of Shinui Maisim. When you have a mind to bring the carbon not for the true owner, that is to be considered like Shinui Maisim. But you have to be a little lamdan to understand that. Says the Gemara, midalai kamalei hachi, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar did not challenge Rabbi Yeshua that way, shmamina, nochas Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Tamid Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar has a different understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. It's what Rabbi Adar Bar Hava said. The Omer of Adar Bar Hava, oimahai Rabbi Yeshua, oilas oif she'os lamata, and of oilas oif that was brought on the bottom half on the Mizbeach, as soon as you do the malika with one simen, so now we learn a new concept altogether. And we mentioned it briefly in our previous year. It's the concept that's known as hamshocha. Hamshocha, I guess we would have to call it transformation. And what it means is that when you switch, when you take a bird that was designated to be an oila, and you take and you immediately begin the avoida with that bird, lamata mechuta sikra, which is where the chatas is brought, and you shechted one simen, so all of your actions are indicating that you don't want it to be an oila, that it's a chatas. So it has nothing to do with, is it an oila that you brought in the right place, is it an oila you brought in the wrong place? It isn't an oila, it's a chatas. So way, again, just to follow our mahalach of the sugya, so says the Brisker Rav, now we're changing. Till now we've learned it's a question of deviations. How many deviations? What kind of deviations? Now it has nothing to do with deviations anymore. And that's why he learns that Rav Adi Bar Hava is not learning Pshat like we learned previously. He's learning it's a new concept. When you take an Oilas Oif and you shech one simen, lamata mechuta sikra, your actions speak louder than anything else. And that's the raya that it's not an oila, that it's a chatos. And in fact, I saw the Mefarshim say, beautiful pshat. And it's also what we learned earlier. We learned there were certain halachas that apply by the chatos oif that don't apply by the oilas oif. One example was roiv basar. That by the chatos oif, after they shechted one simen, you had to cut away the flesh. You didn't cut the flesh before, you cut the simen afterwards. Or we learned another halacha, if you'll recall. It was machlokes about shia. By oilas oif, there's a man that says you're not allowed to wait between the two simonim. But the chatos oif, since you don't have to cut the both simonim, you can wait. So it's very geschmack. The mefarshim say that what will be required over here is to cut the flesh right after you cut the one simon. Because cutting the flesh after the one simon is all an indication that what are you trying to show? That this is not an oiler. That it's a chatos. And what's my proof? Because I'm doing everything like a chatos. It's a very good question. He's asking a gewaldige kasha. He say, how can you turn an oil into a chatos? You could only bring a chatos if you're mechuyev a carbon chatos. Excellent question. The answer that all the Rishonim say is that Al Gemara has to be speaking about a person that was mechuyev a chatos. Excellent question. In fact, Yehachi, says the Gemara, Bechatas oif nami, if we're learning now, there's a new concept of transformation, and that if your action speaks louder than words, and therefore even though you started with a carbon that's an oilas oif, if you did the action of a chatas oif, it's a raya that it's a chatos, so then the other way too. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua say that if you took a chatos and you brought it l'malim l'chutas sikra, it should be considered an oila? That Rabbi Yeshua didn't disagree with Rabbi Lezer. Why? Ask the Gemara. Ilhochi b'chatas oif nami, she'os l'mal l'kmasa oila. Why isn't it subject that it should be considered carbon oila? What do we have to say? Why shouldn't we say that it should be considered oila sa'if? V'chi teima. And if you'll say, maybe taka, v'chi teima hochi nami, v'om rabbi yachin mishun rabbi noah, kachi atso shal mishnah. The way we learned the mishnah is the way to be understood the mishnah. Ma'alav, what does that mean? Kachi atso, strictly in the case where we brought the oil as the chatos, not when you brought the oil as a not when you brought the chatos as oil. Loi, kach atso shal kula mishnah. Says the Gemara, no, it could be that it's different pshat. So now the question is that we should have asked a much simpler question. The Gemara should have asked a much simpler question. What about Oshim and Shlomim? If we're saying that actions speak louder than words, and there's a new concept there of Adar Bar Hava was Mechadish, of Hamshacha, so why do we say Hamshacha by every carbon? Why is it listed strictly here? So Mefarshim explained that the Chatas Oif and the Oilas Oif travel together as a pair. What's the proof? That most cases... Yeah, but the Hatorah says, for example, a Yoledes. A Yoledes has to bring a Chatas and an Oilas Oif. Another, yeah, but still they come together as a pair. The Torah requires that it be brought as a pair. So therefore, since they come together as a pair, say the Mefarshim, it's much easier, it's more comfortable for us to say Hamshacha by something that appear together versus saying Hamshacha by two kabbonis that are not connected at all. I don't want to use the word interchangeable. I want to use the word easier. Says the Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar, Bishlama Oilus Oif Sh'os L'mata K'masa Chata. So right now, where are we up to? Right now, the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps, just like a Chata Oilus Oif that was brought as a Chata Oif, it turns into a Chatas. Similarly, an Oil that was brought as a Chatas, a Chatas that was brought as an Oil should be treated as an Oil. Says Rav Ashi, no. Bishlama Oilus Oif Sh'os L'mata K'masa Chatas L'shem Chatas. When you take the Oil and you bring it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, L'shem Chatas, Kivin the Ha'ech Sheira, Siman Echad, since, as we said before, as soon as you shecht one Siman of the Chatas, V'ach Sheira, whereas by an Oila, it only becomes kosher with Shnei Simonim, V'Oila Sam Oif, furthermore, a Oila is never brought L'mata Leisa, it's never brought in the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Therefore, Kivin the Malach Bas Siman Echad, as soon as you do Malika on one Siman, you've shown that you mean that this should be a Karmen Chatos, and therefore, Nimsheches V'Nasas Chatos Oif. It's to be treated like a Chatos Oif. El Chatos Oif, however, the other situation, when you took the Chatos Oif, that you, and you, you took the bird that was designated to be a Chatos Oif, and you want to treat it like an Oila, Kivin Domamar, since we've learned, Shemlika become Makam Ksher. Malika, there is no limitation where it could take place. You could do the Malika of a Chatos, the Malika on the upper half of the Mizbeach. So, Mikim Molech Basiman Achad, Ifsala. So again, there are a lot of ways of learning the Gemara. I'd like to learn the Gemara the simplest way. The simplest way of learning the Gemara is as follows. When you take an Oilus Oif, and you shecht only one Simen, and again, what we said earlier, and you did all the other things that are done with a Chatos, you've shown that you mean it to be a Karmen Chatos. And therefore, again, also the fact that it's so closely connected, it could turn into a Chatos. However, when you take a Chatos Oif, and you want to make it into, and you start doing the avoid of the Oilus Oif, it's not that evident that you're doing the avoid of an Oilus Oif. And since it's not that evident that you're doing the avoid of the Oilus Oif, it can't be transformed, Hamshacha, into an Oilus Oif. Kivin Davamar, Shemalika become Makam Kshera, even the Malika of a Chatos Oif could be done anywhere. So even Mekim Molek Basiman Echad, if Salah, it becomes, it's still an Oilah. So had the Molech be ida semach, heichim mamshuch of a havya, heichim mamshuch of a havya oilus oif. It remains an oilus oif. It can't become an oilus oif, and therefore it's not a case of a chatos oif that turns into an oilus oif. Gufa says the Gemara. Amar Rav Adi Bar Hava, again Rav Adi Bar Hava is pesuk. Amar Rav Yeshua, oilus oif os lamata kchmas chatos. If somebody took an oilus oif and he brought it lamata mechuta sikra, but he did all of the procedures as it was a chatos, and he also had a mind l'shem chatos, says Rabbi Yeshua, as Rabbi Adi Bar Hava explains him, kivin shemolech basimen echad, as soon as Malika was done in one siman, nimshecha v'nasas chatos oif. So I just want to say one thing, because we mentioned it earlier. If you recall, when we learned the Mishnah, I asked, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the oil becomes into a chatos, at what point does it become a chatos? And I quoted that many Mepharshim say only after the Hazal. That's if we learn the Peshat of the Mishnah, that it depends on deviations. So when do I know that it became a Chata? When do I know it became a Chatos? Only when I complete the Avoida. Rabbi Adi Bar Hava is Mechadish a new Chiddush. He's Mechadish that we work with a concept of Hamshacha. For Hamshacha, you don't have to wait for Hazal. For Hamshacha, it can be already considered a Chatos, Kishacha Basim Echad, as soon as you shech the first Simen. Many of us have learned, or have tried to learn, Masech Tekinim. Many of us have actually not succeeded. Masech Tekinim, actually, the Tiferes Yisrael says that the last Mishnayis of Masech Tekinim are the hardest Mishnayis in Shas. So this isn't my evaluation. It's the evaluation of the Tiferes Yisrael. I think it says in Pirkei Avos, Kinim Gufei Halachas. They're considered real halacha. It takes real cup to understand them. Actually, why is it so important to learn kinim? It's worthwhile for a moment just to stop to mention this. Kinim, first of all, come from birds And we know, we learned it earlier in our parak, who brings a bird? Normally the person who brings a bird is a poor person. An ani brings a oif. So the Torah wants to be machshiv, the carbon that an ani brings. Furthermore, typically, when does somebody bring a carbon? Even the carbon oila, and certainly the carbon chatos and the carbon asham. When do you bring it? If you did an aveira, carbon oila we said, because you had machshava, it's a mechapar and hurim. When were kinim typically brought? Especially the kinim that we're going to be discussing in today's shir and tomorrow's shir. By childbirth. So that's the greatest joy by Klal Yisrael, when there are new children born in Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is growing. Gufei halachas. Halacha. You know where we're going to really enjoy halacha? When we see that Klal Yisrael grows. Says the Mishnah. Tashma. So the Mishnah says in Masech Tekinim. So the Mishnah Masech Tekinim discusses the case where a woman has a baby. And the halacha is that when a woman has a baby, we mentioned it a couple of moments ago, you have to bring a kamechatas oif, you have to bring an oilas oif. The halacha is that a person could donate karbonis. But somebody earlier said, I don't remember who, that you can never donate a chatas oif. You can only donate oilas oif. So what happens if a woman has a child and she wants to bring extra karbonis? She can only bring oilas oif. She can never bring a chatas oif. So says the Mishnah. You have two women who have to bring two pairs of birds. Chatas lazu v'oil lazu. So they brought one pair, and they brought that pair properly. And now we have another pair. Again, let's just use an example. We have two women, Rachel and Leah. Rachel was supposed to bring a chatas and oil. Leah was supposed to bring a chatas oil. One of them brought a chatas, one of them brought an oil, and they each owe still one carbon. And they bring both of these carbonas to the base of Middush. So chatas lazu v'oil lazu. Os l'shteim l'malam. And the Kayin makes an error. And he goes and he brings both kabanas, l'mala m'chuta sikra, assuming that both of these kabanas are an oila. Interesting shaila. What is the case that we're discussing? Most mefarshim explained that the Kayin just made a simple error. What would be the halacha if the Kayin knew up front that he doesn't know what's what? What should he do? Should he just leave the birds to die? Or should he treat them both as a carbon oila? So again, chatas lazu v'oilu lazu. There's one bird that's a carbon chatas and one bird that's a carbon oila. Osa shteyin l'mala. And now the Kohen went and brought both birds, l'mala mechuta sikra, as if they were a carbon oila. The loch is mechza kosher mechza posel. It's half and half. The one that was, because it's a oila, the one that was brought as an oila is fine. The one that was supposed to be a chatas that was brought on top is not. What would be the halach of shteyin l'mata? He assumed that both of the birds were chatas oif and brought both of them on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So mechza kosher, the bird that's indeed a chatas, fine, or mechza posel, and the bird that's oila is disqualified. Achas l'mal of achas l'mata, if one was brought l'mal mechuta sikra and one was brought l'mata mechuta sikra, shteim psulas, then both kabanas are disqualified. For says the Mishnah, Sheni Omer, Chatas Kreva L'mala, V'Oiva Kreva L'mata. What must we be concerned for? We must be concerned that he made a perfect switch. And the one that was supposed to be L'mata, he brought L'mala. And the one that was supposed to be L'mala, he brought L'mata. And therefore, since he brought both of them in the wrong place, says the Mishnah, they're disqualified. Ask the Gemara, the obvious question. If we just learned the concept of Amshacha, that a bird that's brought on, that's supposed to be an oila, if you bring it as a chatos, you're fine. So why is the Mishnah so quick to say that everything's a problem? Even if life went the wrong way for you, and the oila that you were supposed to bring, the bird that was supposed to be an oila, you brought lamata. But hasn't Rabbi Yeshua been teaching us in our whole shiur today that an oila ta'oif that's brought lamata is to be considered like a chatos? So why does the Mishnah say the both of these kabanas are possible? Answers the Gemara. Amid Am Rabbi Yeshua. When did Rabbi Yeshua say his halacha b'chad gavra? Betray gavri loy mi omar. This goes back to something I said earlier in the shiur. If you recall, I said earlier in the shiur, in explaining the concept of Hamshacha, why do we only say Hamshacha by one person who had to bring a chatas oif and oilas oif? That the oil could become a chatas. So I said part of the lumdis of Hamshacha is that because these two birds are so very connected, and that's why it's different than an oil and the shlomim and the oshim, that are two totally different kabbanas. Following that line of reasoning, our Gemara is very geshmak. One person who's mechayiv both a chatas oif and oilas oif, And now he got, there was a confusion, and the oil was brought, lamata mechot ha-sikra. So we understand the Gemara, that we could say katzav v'am shocha. But if you have two separate women, Rachel and Leah, who have to bring two kabbonis, they're not connected enough that we ought to be able to employ the concept of Amshacha. And therefore, once I finish, and therefore, says the Gemara, that even Rabbi Yeshua, who is the Manda Omer, like Rabbi Adi Bar Hava is teaching us, that employs the concept of Amshacha, in Masechta Kinim, when you're dealing with two separate women, you can't say Amshacha. We'll stop here.